And then some of those dudes, do you know who made a ton of money on jingles?
Who?
Barry Manilow.
No way.
Yes. Look it up. Google it. That dude made so much money on jingles.
I'm going to believe you, dude.
Yeah. Probably like funded like what he was doing. It's not like he's, you can only sing so long before you're kind of like, I'm kind of over it.
I can hear his voice in my head, but I can't recall a song he ever sung.
Barry Manilow? Jesus, Craig.
I know. I'm having a brain.
Copacabana. Yeah.
Yeah.
His name was Rico. He had a mustache.
His name was Weecho. He had pepperoni.
Yes. His name was Weecho. He rode long wheelies, put his hands up in the air, and nobody seemed to care, because he's Weecho. That dude's a baller.
Man, hey, if this podcasting don't work out, bro, I know where you're going to be.
Making jingles, fucking yep. Right. Damn right I am. What's up, everybody? It's your friend Isaac from Big Bike BMX, and I'm here with my trusty friend Craig. What up, Craig?
What's going on, Isaac? What's up, everyone? Stoked,
dude. We haven't done this in a minute. It feels like we've been doing a lot of interviews. We haven't like sat down and just BS'd about BMX in a minute.
What was the last one we did? It was like last week, right?
Yeah, but like we used to do it all the time. Now you're hanging out with RL and stuff. I'm kind of like.
Are we growing apart?
I guess so. Now you found like a new best friend named R.L. Osborne. Now we'll talk about that in a minute, dude. Cool. Let's kind of get on to the news, though. We'll talk about what's going on in the world of big bikes and bikes. And you went to a bike show this weekend, right?
Yeah, man. Out in Concord. Excuse me. Yeah, I went to an OG old school BMX swap meet bike show. VW show. There's like a ton of VW cars. A lowrider came, like an old I didn't know the year. I think it was like a 63 Chevy Impala all slammed down. Yeah, man, quite a bit of people, man. It was in a little parking lot. A lot of good bikes, a lot of good people out there, man. And they got free food for you too.
That's cool. What were like some of the cool bikes you saw?
Whew, man, Skyway Street Beat.
Stoked. Want to hear more?
Quad Angle, Patterson, Nomura.
Don't care.
Brackens.
Don't care. What else? Freestyle bikes. See. What did they have?
Freestyle bikes. Hutch Trickstar.
Cool.
Redline RL22.
Oh, we may talk about that in a little bit.
Yes. Glad we brought that up.
We'll trigger everybody.
Uh-huh. There was a couple of bikes that were just kind of like Frankenstein together, I love those type of freestyle bikes. That's like,
dude, I love them. Every bike I owned when I was a kid was Frankenstein together.
Yeah. Haro Master. Old school George was out there. A buddy of mine from here in the East Bay. He was like, if you guys never heard of him, go look up Jorge Lazuriaga, on Instagram. He goes by Old School George. He was actually a number one like ranked rider in Mexico for freestyle BMX. So he was out there riding and having a good time. It was just a good time all the way around.
It's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
You saw Mutt too. Mutt was there.
Mutt was there. Got to say what's up to Mutt. Had a good conversation with him. Although, trying to talk through our masks, it's like still kind of weird to me. It's like, what'd you say? Cause I'm like, I think I'm losing my hearing a bit. So it's like, I hear muffled things sometimes, but
you're getting old.
I'm getting older, bro. Yeah. Mutt was there. It was just good times. Did you see what I wrote out to the swap meet on what I got picked up in?
Oh yeah. The SE bus.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So I got picked up by, Damon Dayton and Matt Rickard, RL Matt Rickard. And
Real Linda's own
and finest RL Matt Ricard.
We did a cool podcast with him, like an episode yesterday on YouTube of him giving some wheelie advice. So if everybody, if you're listening to this and you haven't seen our YouTube channel, go to YouTube, search Big Bike BMX, and Rio Lindo's very own Matt Ricard gave some wheelie advice and gave me a critique and critiqued his own wheelies. It was pretty cool. I had a good time.
Yeah, I did too. And we should get into that as well. I just wanted what I was leading into was to say a huge shout out and thank you to Damon and Matt for picking me up and taking me to the swap meet. I had a good time hanging out with my bros.
Yeah, very cool. And George from Night Bike Company, our sponsor, he was there.
Oh, of course. George was out there. Yeah. George showed up. He was riding an SE quad angle, the STR, the new one. He had it all like customed out, took off the spokes, put on some Skyway Tufts, had some really cool forks on it.
You excited about that bike?
I like it. I love nostalgia, dude.
Yeah.
I had a chance. I actually saw a couple for sale today and had a chance to buy one. I'm just not ready to drop the coin right now because I want, not that I don't want it. It's just that I want other things. Yeah. That makes sense. So I'm planning for those.
I appreciate it. I appreciate the fact that you're not just buying one to put it in a box and hold it away, that there's someone out there that's dying to find a 20-inch STR1, and we'll be able to find it because you didn't hoard one. So I appreciate that. I love that about you.
Right on, dude. Good I like call. That about me, too.
Good call. I approve. We can still be friends.
We are friends again.
We will continue to chit-chat now.
Yup.
Other news, let's see, on the bike, we'll stay on the bike front real quick. I've heard from two different shops that invoices went out for some new SE bikes, which means when bike shops get invoiced, that means that their outside sales guys and girls have charged their cards for new SE bikes. So if your shop says I got invoice, that means within the next week or two, they're going to get some new bikes. So.
Yeah. And these are going to be the November rollouts, right?
I believe so. I know one was like, there's the stealth. I added an F for no reason. I don't know what happened. My brain just added a syllable there. The stealth, big flyer. I don't know if the purple camo is going to show up in this wave, but there was an OM flyer that was mentioned. So
let's look at, I'm trying to search for the schedule.
Post. Yeah, yeah. For the post.
Yeah. I know that's on, SE's website or SE's, Instagram page.
Dude, I went into Phoenix Bike Company and they literally have the schedule like taped to the counter. So that, cause people just keep coming in and asking until they taped it.
Right.
Kind of funny.
Yeah, no, I don't blame them actually, because I got hit up quite a few times going, hey dude, what bike's coming out when? I'm like, and I just shoot them off a screen grab of that first arrival date. So November, what SE has scheduled on their November release is the Blocks Flyer 26.
Yep.
The Wild Man, the Everyday, the D Blocks Big Ripper, the DJ Ripper 26 and the DJ Ripper HD 26.
So you get the camo, you get the green and red camo bike, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. And then December, if we're just going to go, you know, three bikes coming out then, the Monster Ripper, the 29 plus, the Big Ripper 29 and the Fast Ripper 29.
Okay. So when's the purple camo? Is that November?
I am looking right now.
Big flyer. When's the big flyer?
Big flyer 29 was October.
Maybe
so
that's our
for name. October, it says Ripper, SoCal Flyer 24, the Maniac Flyer 27.5+, Big Flyer 29, OM Flyer 26, the Bronco.
It's got to be those. It's got to be those.
Yeah.
It's got to be those.
It's got to be those. Yeah.
Cool, man. So if you are looking for SE bikes, I also heard that City Grounds had the cookies and cream, the spotted bike and the camo today.
That's right.
Someone was like, these are in stock right now. So if you hear this tonight, I don't know. Let me look real quick. I bet.
Yeah, while you're looking for that, if you guys were listening to us when we were doing our SE bike recap and looking at all the bikes that they were releasing, there were two left out that we couldn't find. And those were City Ground bikes. So if you guys were wondering where those two went and they were which bikes, Isaac, the black or the white and black spotted.
Yeah, people are calling it like the cookies and cream. I call it the spotted bike.
Cookies and cream or spotted. Sure.
And the really cool teal camo bike. They're not in right now. If I'm not seeing them, they obviously probably sold out like in 20
what was that? Minutes. Like there was a teal and lime yellow, right?
Yeah. It's got like a fluorescent yellow or flare. It's kind of like a highlighter yellow. So it's almost like a borderline green. I don't know.
Yeah.
Probably one of my favorite bikes to look at. Like I thought that bike looks so sick. Nope. City Grounds has a bunch of Haros and a Schwinn Rambler clunker for $369.
What size is that?
26.
26. Is it black frame?
No, it's blue and gold.
Blue and gold. Okay. Yeah. Mine was black framed with gold, gold decals.
And then they have the crew bike. I don't know if I want to bag on that bike right now or not. So crew is like, I saw these on here. It's a crew 29, $529. It's made by a fixie company, but they also have, it's basically, I mean, it's such a knockoff, dude. I feel bad. Just ripping. I don't want to rip them, but I'm like, man, they use flowable tubing on the down tube. So kind of an interesting, I don't know if you're going to,
interesting.
Here's what I will say, man. If you're going to drop a bike, man, innovate, go for it, go all in. Don't just copy what SE or Throne or GT. It's like throwing out a new bike and putting an S tube and like trying not, and like me not, you know, looking at it and going like, come on, man, you just ripped off GT. Yeah. Put flowable on there, I'm gonna be like, dude, you ripped off SE. If you're gonna put money into creating a bike, go for it. Go all in and do something super dope, but don't just copy what someone else made.
Agreed.
How's that? Okay.
Yeah, I like it.
All right. So that's the bike news that's out there. If you're looking for an SE bike and you've been waiting on one of those ones, I'm also gonna pause for a minute and still say, like, holy cow, dude. SE's dropping so many bikes that we literally can't remember which ones are coming at what time. Like, just let that marinate for a minute. You know what I mean?
it's a challenge, man. I'm like,
do you have your paper?
Yeah. Let me look back at my calendar. And it's a good thing. I mean, it's an awesome thing to look at, you know, everything that's coming up and what we've already had. It's like, if you look at what we've already had, dude, released by, and I say we, but as a, you know, bike community, look at the bikes that, say, SE Racing has dropped just this year. Bikes that are available or have been available. It's downright incredible. I mean, crazy to think that there's still a whole, you know, lineup of bikes that it's going to be coming out all the way up through December, you know?
Yeah.
So.
It's crazy. It's impressive. Yeah.
Keep your eyes open, everybody. I mean, contact your local bike shops, look online, you know, start doing your research and homework so you got a chance at one of those when they do hit the market.
Do you have a favorite for December right now? Still, is it still, you got anything you're really like, man, I want that one?
You know, I wish I could say I did, but I don't have a favorite, but it's like I got the bike I wanted this year.
Yeah.
Is that crazy to say with all the cool bikes that are coming out? I got the bike I wanted.
Same, dude. I got the PK. Still love it. We both got new bikes since the PKs. And I'm still like, I wanted one of those fat bikes, but it's not like I had to have, like, my PK is still like, man, I love that bike. And then the fat quad, dude.
Yeah. No, I mean, and I feel the same way. I'm like, you know what? Because usually after I buy a bike, I'm like, all right, what's next? And I'll get there. But right now I'm just really enjoying my PK and my fat quad. Actually, I need to give the PK some love, dude. It's been hanging on my wall for a minute.
Yeah. You know?
So,
dude, no, ride what you love, dude. I mean, if that fat quad is filling your love cup, then go with the fat quad all day long, man.
Oh yeah, it totally is.
I agree, dude. Like ride the shit yeah. out of it, you know, the only reason I'm not riding my fat quad as much as I would normally be is because my son Aiden takes it. Like
he loves it, huh?
He loves that bike, dude, because it's so balanced for him. So like his big, like, okay, so my kids are 13. So their favorite thing to do is ride with no hands.
Yeah.
Like that dude is the biggest flex that they can do on each other. And so when we go on rides, dude, they're both like just hands down. You know, when you see those, like those kids run with their hands behind their back and they just like, it's almost like a funny run.
Yeah.
Dude, that's what my kids do when they ride their bikes. And I'm like, I'm going to be honest because they're my kids. If you say this about my kids, I'll punch you in the throat. But I will make fun of my kids all day long because like, dude, they ride and they put their hands behind their backs like this. Like you guys can't see me, but like they'll put their hands like this and lean forward and just pedal as hard as they can, dude, and just go. And right. they'll just take off. And I'm like, I'm sitting there with their mom. I'm like, our insurance is paid up, right? Because like, dude, like they're hauling ass, dude, as fast as they can pedal with no hands. And I'm like, and they're on like they're not even on like pavement half the time. It's like on dirt, like little dirt trails. And I'm like, dude, they're going to watch. He's going to face plant so hard right now. But it's dude, so
teach him how to surf. The next move would be the surfer.
Yeah. I see. I'm also on the flip side of that coin. I'm helicopter parent. So I'm not trying to like, I don't want to pick him up off the ground with like bone showing. So, right. You know, I'm not trying to be that guy. And they're not that they're 13, dude. They're not that coordinated yet. Like,
okay, fair.
They're at that weird age where like their feet are like man feet, but then they have like weird legs that are like little kid legs. And
right.
They're still adjusting, dude. Cause my kids are taller than I am, dude. They got taller out of nowhere. And, it's funny, dude. Like you should see them. They're awkward. They fall walking down the hall, poof, just fall. Just like, dude, did you slip, bro? What happened? He's like, I don't know. Like feet just didn't work right there.
Can't get out of their own way. I get
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been there. I get it, dude.
Yeah.
Anyway. So like, yeah, they ride, but he comes and he'll come and get the fat quad. And, like just this last weekend. So I'm not hosting ride outs. I just happened to ride on Sunday afternoons. And if other people want to come, cool. So, this last Sunday I rode down to where I told everyone I was going to start at. And my kid and the boys were like, they just weren't ready, man. I'm like, I'm going to dip, dude. You guys can meet me half. You guys, because we passed my house on the way back towards like where we're riding to.
Oh, boy.
And so I rode the fat quad because I'm like, I have a couple minutes to myself. So I had a blast, dude. I rode it down to downtown Gilbert. Picked up Colin and his family. And started riding back. And I'm like, watch, dude, my son's going to take my bike. Watch this. We get there. He's like, can I ride the bike? Can I ride the red bike? I'm like, yeah, dude, go ahead. I mean, what am I going to say? No. You know yeah. what I mean? Like,
no.
So, yeah. So anyway,
come on, Dad.
He had a great time on the fat quad, which I didn't get to ride.
Is he hitting bushes on that thing? Is that like the ultimate like bush whacker?
No, dude. So Bodie tries to hit every bush he can on it because he saw Todd on the OM Duro jump, like just plow through a bush. So he's just like, it's a lawnmower.
Yeah, totally.
Aiden, on the other hand, just wants to ride with no hands because he's pretty good at it, dude. Like he can ride far and over whatever. And so he just likes riding with no hands, and the fat tires, dude, make it so easy. It's like a cheat code. Everything about that bike is a cheat code.
Yeah, I keep using that phrase because you kind of coined it in my brain. But now when anybody like DMs me like, hey man, how do you like your fat quad? I'm like, it's a cheat code. I feel like putting it in quotations and then giving you some type of credit, but
oh, I stole it from somebody else. It's all right.
Okay, good.
Dude, yeah, totally. Like tail whips are so easy on that bike. It's ridiculous. Because the top tube is low. So you can kick that bike and then it's not like you have to put your foot up and get weirdly bound. Like on my PK, I have to lift my foot pretty high to catch the frame on a tail whip as it comes around. On the fat quad, dude, it's like, you just put your foot just catches it because it's a low top tube.
After your tail whip, are you able to lift the bike up and your little, and you know, you tail whip it and then you bring your bike up? Is that pretty easy too?
Just because, like, it depends where your foot is. If the foot that you catch with is back by the seat post, then yes.
Yeah.
That's where the balance is. Like, it's just really balance is what it is. It's really easy.
Nice.
Endos are really easy. Wheelies are really easy. Yeah, because on the fat quad, you just pull up, dude, and like, because those tires are so big, you can then adjust your butt and your legs and your hips.
Yeah.
You'd be like, so you can start squarely and then just like, kind of like a recliner, you know, when you sit down and then you kind of like scoot your butt and like just get situated with the remote.
Yeah.
That's what the fat quad is like when you wheelie. You pull it up and you start coasting and then you kind of settle yourself and then you're like, okay, let's go.
Find that comfort zone.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of fat bikes, man, RL Osborne and Mike Buff this last week.
Big news.
Big news, man.
Big news. Yeah.
What do you, first of all, want you, tell me as far as fat bikes go, or maybe we just talk about Buff and RL getting together first. Cause both of them are on fat bikes. Or maybe RL was on his, Mike was on his 29 inch Mike Buff Ripper.
I think that was just for the picture. I think Mike Buff rides his fat Ripper more than he rides the other one.
Yeah, man. But damn, I mean, Buff and Osborne, after 40 years in that picture from that photo till the one they took.
What a moment, dude.
Yeah.
What a moment. Okay. So what we're talking about is, if you haven't been on Instagram or Facebook, look up Mike Buff or RL Osborne Freestyle and you will see a picture that they took. So what happened is Dylan and RL went on a road trip from NorCal down south and surprised everybody and was like, boom, we're at Mike Buff's house. And it was just like, there was no warning. It was just like all of a sudden, you knew they were on a road trip because I saw them talking about it, but they didn't say we're going to Mike Buff's house or anything like that. And then I was just at work and you're like, I think you texted me a picture and you're like, dude, look at this. And then Mike texted me that picture. And he's like, he wrote WTF and posted it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, dude, like what a legendary picture. So it's a picture of them, when they were kids, sitting next to each other on their bikes, and for like BMX action or something. And they recreated the photo now on their Mike Buff Rippers, and just legendary. It's like, it's so cool to see I always like seeing that. Anytime you see like a before and after, like you throw like Balky and the other guy, you know, from the sitcom way back in the 80s, and you see him like together, you're like, cool.
What was that? Perfect Strangers?
Perfect Strangers, dude. Yeah, that's what it was called. Yeah. I recently saw another one with Ed Norton and Brad Pitt, and it was like Fight Club 20 years later, 20 years between.
Oh shit.
Right? It's been 20 years since Fight Club came out. Let that like marinate for a minute. But yeah, dude, you saw these guys hanging out together and you're like, oh dude, what an amazing. And I think we all were like, we're getting the band back together, right on. You know, because you see it and you're like two legends of freestyle back together. And then you and I kind of had a weird little like, you know, for me, when I saw it, I think I had a different reaction. And then we talked about it. You want to go into that? You want to talk about that?
Yeah, I first want to just kind of like echo your sentiments because, you know, it's kind of like you look at these guys and especially being, you know, from when we started riding and watching Mike Buff and RL together on the BMX Action Trick Team, you just imagine, you don't fathom, you don't predict that, you know, there'll be so many years of these guys. Not that they weren't talking or anything. I'm not saying they weren't friends. Of course they were friends, but you know, like a photo that they redo and it's like, there's like a 40 year gap in between. That's just blows your mind, right? Cause you're thinking, dude, has it been that long? When was the last time they hung out? And then it all goes away. All that, like, you know, thinking about, you know, these guys haven't hung out in so long. Who cares? The fact that they were together, that RL went down there and hung out with Mike. And my favorite, one of my favorite photos of both of them were hanging out in Mike's garage, and they were just looked like someone captured a moment of them two just sitting down, shooting the shit in the garage. Who knows what was going on with the conversation, but it was like, dude, that's awesome. You know, back to just, you know, shooting the shit and hanging out like bros, you know, like there was never any time in between the last time they were hanging out.
I love that. See, that's what I love about it. Cause like what we had talked about and I commented on it, I think on my post was like, more than the fact that this is RL and Buff, what a cool moment. Hold on, dude. I'm getting a phone call. Oh, maybe not. Okay, hold on. I'm going to answer this call. Jacob's calling. So let's see what Jacob has to say. Hold on.
Answer it, Big Bike BMX.
This is Big Bike BMX, and you're live on the show.
Hi, guys. What's going on?
What up? It's Jacob Santos.
What up, Craig? What up, Isaac?
Chilling, man. What's going on with you, brother?
I'm ready to get the website for Broke Boys built. So when you have a minute, give me a call and let's have people stop hitting me up with all these questions and get them direct to a website.
I love it. Hey, what did you think about seeing Mike Buff and RL together again?
Dude, I thought it was dope. I didn't get to meet RL when I was down in at the Hodeo, but I did get to hang out with Mike Buff. And let me tell you, Mike Buff was one of the dopest dudes that I have hung out with in a while.
100%, dude. I would agree. I think he's such a cool guy. He's so down to earth. Just a great guy.
It's just rad to see, you know, guys that did this shit 30 years ago still playing on bicycles together. I dig it.
Do you think in 30 years you'd want to take a picture with myself or Craig or Matt Rickard? No pressure.
100%. I'll take a picture with anybody at any time. But yeah, man, there's guys in this scene right now, like you said, Matt Rickard.
Yep.
Matt Rickard's one of my favorite people in big bikes. He hypes me up. He's one of the chillest dudes that I've ever ridden with. And I'm stoked to be teammates with him on a few different levels.
I love that, dude. I hope that you get to take a picture with him in 30 years when you guys are like hanging out and still on bikes, and I hope that you get that.
Doing wheelies and wheelchairs.
Doing wheelies and wheelchairs, brother.
Yeah, we'll be doing wheelies and wheelchairs. I'll be hand dragging though. I'm not going to have elbow pads on.
I love it, dude. All right, man. I'll give you a call. Right,
hey, you guys. I'll let you guys get back to it. Isaac, like I said, I'm ready to get the website going. So you guys heard it here first. Website is coming soon.
Love it, dude. I'll help you out. I'll call you in a little bit.
Right on. Thanks, bro.
All right, bro.
Later,
man. He said later. All right. Random call from Jacob. So what I was going to say is though, seeing those guys together, made me appreciate, okay, yeah, it's RL and Buff, but on a deeper level, dude, I was like, man, how cool is that to be able, like, for me, it was like my buddy Lee Eckroth, who I used to ride with, like, I just to be like, if Lee showed up at my house with a bike, and we just got to sit on bikes and just like talk about like the stuff we did when we were 14, 15, 16. Or my buddy Ron, we used to call him Tiger. Like if he showed up on a bike and was just like, dude, let's talk, you know, and let's just chat about like the days, dude. It gives me chills to think about it. Like how cool, what a moment. Because I mean, you think about the dudes you used to ride with. Like there's probably one or two people that you rode with daily back in the day, or that you were just,
dude, and I'm sure you saw it, like that moment between RL and Mike made me think about my moment. About a year ago, I think you saw it. It was a picture I put up of me and my buddy
riding,
who started riding in seventh grade. And he came up here about a year ago. So we're talking, dude, like 30 plus years ago, we started hanging out and riding and skating. We skated and just were balls out with everything, bikes and skateboards. But he came up here and we got a ride again. It was so cool.
Yeah.
You know, and that was that, it just reminded me so much, of that moment with RL and Mike. So I was like, dude, I can't imagine how stoked they were. Cause I know how stoked I was. So shout out to my buddy Phil out there. Phil rides bikes on Instagram. Yeah, I want to do that again, man. It's super cool.
I love that. And you know, I hope a lot of people, like, it's almost like Eddie and Martin still ride together. So they haven't had any time pass, but it, I mean, like, I mean, you got, like, when you think of like other, like, almost a dynamic duo, and that's a stupid way to say it, but like, you know, like people that were riders that were like, you saw together, like Diz and Seppi.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or like Craig Grosso and, you know, Craig Campbell, or, you know, RL Buff. I mean, it's just like, there's always like those kind of, you know,
yeah, you like can fill
Tony
in
Hawk and McGill, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wonder, like, they probably still hang out, but like, it's just like that kind of stuff, I think, is just amazing. And I can't imagine like the fun that was. And I'm stoked that Dylan got to see that too. What a cool thing. Did you see the RL continue that trip, and who else he got to run into?
Oh, you know, I did, dude. He went and hung out with the Duker.
Yeah. Like, yeah, so, man. Duke, for those of you that don't know, like, your super old school stuff, Duke was the announcer for the BMX Action Trick team. So there's a really famous picture of Mike Buff jumping over. Is it a truck or is it a Porsche? I think it was a truck.
Yeah.
Was it a truck? I think it was a truck.
Maybe.
So Duke was a dude that had like the crazy big mustache, and he always had Oakley suspenders on. He was like the party. He was like the MC.
He was like the hype man, dude. And yeah. The announcing hype man of the trick team, dude.
Like, dude's a legend. And so he got to go and hang out with Duke. And I mean, I got chills when I saw those pictures too. He still has the suspenders. Like, did you see that?
Yeah. And he's wearing the wild sunglasses as well. You know, you can tell he's got all the energy.
It's just so cool for us old guys to see the people that we grew up with. You know what I mean? I think it's awesome. Like, you know, here's a good pairing. I'd like to see Mark Eaton and Kevin Jones together.
Another good one.
Like, I think that would be a cool thing to see.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, you can fill the blanks in with, you know, anyone you want, but there's the, you know, we each have our favorites, or at least ones we'd really like to see do the same thing. And it's kind of crazy, because if you think about it, it's like, You grow up with these guys. It's almost like they're part of your crew, you know? It's
100%.
And it's like, maybe they're dudes in magazines and on videos and stuff, but you still want to see them regroup and reconnect.
Yeah.
After so many
Wilkerson and Blyther.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. So
I wonder if Blyther would come on our show. You think so?
Sure, why not?
I don't know. That'd be cool. Or Ron Wilkerson would be fun to talk to
too. I'd love to hang out with all those dudes. I'd love to hang out with all of them.
Do you know Dave Norrie's doing like a flatland? Like, he's teaching kids flatland like in Oregon or something.
Dude, that's crazy. That's kind of awesome. Cool.
Yeah, I think he has you can like rent him for a birthday party. It's called Gumby Land, and he brings like a mini skate park to your like front of your house, and teaches kids how to do like. I mean, mostly it's lets them go off, you know what I mean? But it's like, it's also like former pro, you know what I mean? Which is cool.
I think it's awesome, man.
My kids would go nuts on that.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. Hell, man.
I wonder if you'd come to my birthday party and just set up Gumby Land in my front yard for my birthday. Like, tell them it's my, I'll be like, can you come for my kid's birthday party? And then like, oh, my kids are here, but man, I'm so psyched. Let's set up the ramps, you know?
Here's the waivers. Sign them up. Yeah. Here we go, buddy.
Yeah. How come your kid didn't sign a waiver? Oh, don't worry about him. He's not going to ride. I am.
Yeah.
And then I just asked Dave to do Gumbies. Can you just do a Gumby?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's pretty awesome, dude. Seeing that stuff. I'm pretty psyched about that. I'm pretty psyched about the SC bikes that are coming out.
One more thing on that. So on the RL Mike Buff reunion, I was asking people in my, because I posted it to my page, excuse me. And I was like, hey, what do you guys think? Wouldn't it be cool to get Mike and RL back and either for a ride out or, you know, a show or something like that? Man, overwhelming response on people going, please, let's get these guys either on a ride out. Let's get them together. Yeah, let's. love for them to do a show somewhere, you know. So I'm just going to put it out there, Mike, RL, if you're listening, we'd love for you guys to do a ride out, man. Come to, at the same time, you know, come to a ride out together. I'd travel down to LA or wherever they go, you know?
Yeah. That'd
be so cool. Yeah. A lot of people were into it. So I hope it happens.
I mean, a lot of those guys show up to like, you know, you got like Volker still shows up to big ride outs. Like he'll show up once in a while to them. Xavier shows up to some of those ones in LA. It's pretty cool. Like you do see some of the older guys, the old legend show up to ride outs in LA.
What do you think that's like for some people? I mean, some folks probably could ride side by side with some of those guys and just have no clue.
Yeah. They know? Probably have no clue who they are.
No clue. Right.
Mm-hmm. Like no. Dave Volker. Cool.
Or not even know.
Yeah.
Like I wouldn't imagine a teenager to young 20-year-old would even know unless someone said, hey dude, that guy right there. And then they, you know, give him the background, whatever.
Yeah. Hall Otherwise, of Fame rider.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's kind of like on the Seaside ride out, right?
Yeah.
RL and I are, you know, hanging out in the parking lot with George and a couple older heads and stuff. And we're sitting around talking and stuff. And these kids are just wheeling right by, you know? Yeah. And I was like, I was waiting for someone to go, hey man, who's that? Who's that guy that's doing the wheelies? Let me tell you, man, come here. You got a minute, you know, but,
I wonder if they care or just would be like, cool. You know, I think, cause it's just a different generation that doesn't have that same, you know what I mean? Like,
well, what could you equate that to? Where, I mean, how could you fit that into something? How can we make it so it's like,
so they would understand something like,
well, it's like, no, it's like, okay. So for today's BMX kids, right?
Right.
Bike life kids, BMX kids. If RL's standing or on his bike at a ride out waiting to ride or do whatever, ride out and roll out.
Yeah.
How, I mean, a kid was going to look at RL and just be like, hey, that guy can ride a wheelie. That's pretty cool. I wonder who that is. Or maybe, you know, the wow factor would be somebody's dad knows how to ride a wheelie.
Right.
Who's his, I wonder if his kid's here. They're not going to assume like, oh dude, that is a Hall of Fame BMX freestyle legend, like a godfather of freestyle.
That guy invented half the tricks that I'm learning right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. Yeah. They're not, of course.
I mean, I guess you would just be like, you know, your legend. That's the dude that your legend looks up to. I mean, that's really the only thing, like, you know what I mean? That's, we always joke. That's your favorite writer's favorite writer.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I think that's the only way to like, and I get it, dude. You know what I mean? It's a different generation. They have, you know, it's like they don't, and this is the difference, dude. They, I mean, they have Rickard, they have Jacob, they have D Blocks, they have, you know, they have, I mean, I guess that's what they have. You know what I mean? They don't have the same, and maybe this is me being like a little bit nostalgic and I don't want to say I'm sad for this generation, but like I think I'm just nostalgic for the way I grew up, you know what I mean? Where it was like, you know, you did wait for that magazine. You did wait for, you know, you had to wait a month, man, to see like what your friends were up to. And I use that for, like air quote led, like legend friends, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you had to wait a month to see what was going on. You know what I mean? So like nowadays you pick it up and you're just like, look on Instagram and Damon Dayton's going live and you know exactly what he's up to. It's just different.
Even further than that, right? So if you're a kid and you're in the bike life scene and your favorite riders are like One Way Rye and Rickard, or any of those guys, let's say, let's just use the SE crew, right?
Yeah, sure.
Full-fledged crew team, SE crew. And you could actually, you know, follow them on social media and then go ride with them in a ride out.
Right.
Like you have access to your favorite riders.
Right.
To an extent, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty dope because back when we were kids, we had our favorite riders. And yes, you could meet them if you go to a demo or a show or a contest that they were in. If you
once a year. Yeah.
Once a year, right? Yeah. And if you were lucky, right, your mom would take a Polaroid of you with Stu or
right
or whoever.
Right.
Mike Miranda.
Toby Henderson.
But it was like, whoa. And, you know, you'd get that quick meet and greet if you got that, or you'd watch them and then it was over and you'd go home. But at least with you know, in terms of bike life goes, you could actually ride side by side with them. You can go ask them questions or say, hey man, I really like what you do or whatever.
Yeah.
You do, right.
Yeah.
That's pretty dope.
Yeah. You show up, like you show up to an LA ride out, you know what I mean? Like you show up to like one of those like goon rides and like you're in DZ's video, you know what I mean? DZ's your favorite rider. And now you're in his video. You know totally. What I mean?
Totally, man. It's crazy.
It's such a trip. I just, man, I don't know. I'm just old, man. I want them to have that same kind of nostalgic thing that I have, I guess, when you see these guys. And it's and they won't, and it's fine. You know what I mean? It's good because it's just a different generation. My kids won't understand it either. You know what I mean? But just, it's just one of those things that like, I think it's cool.
They won't on their own.
Yeah. Right?
They won't on their own. There's no reason to know on their own.
Yeah.
So what has to happen is on these rideouts, when we see Mike Buff and RL and Matt Rickard and Jacob Santos and all those guys, we got to point them out, you know. Yeah. We got to hashtag know your roots, you know, you're passing the torch along. It's like, hey, see that dude right there? Like I told my stepson, see that guy right there? That guy is a legend, bro. We're going to need to go say what's up. We need to go say hi to him.
Right.
I need to introduce you. I'll show him videos on YouTube. Like I'll say, hey, dude, guess, you know, we just did this show and we had this guy on. And he's like, who's that? Okay, come on. Let's go watch some videos.
Dude, I don't want to cut you off, but I do need to say something. I need to tell you. I need to say this. I recently came across like a general show. Like, so this is like towards the end of RL's like career. And that dude was so, and it's awkward because like I'm low key friends with RL, but not like, I'm not tight like you are with RL. Obviously. But like we've chatted before, right? Like RL and I, like we, you know, we'll troll each other on Facebook and stuff like that. Like we have that kind of weird relationship, but I can say like, it's almost like it's a separation because like I watched a video of him and, Todd Anderson? I think it was Todd Anderson.
In the video?
Yeah.
Were they wearing the white general unis?
I think so.
Yeah.
It was like at a shop and it was the second show of the day. And it was Pete Kearney, RL, and I think Todd Anderson, Todd Anderson, if it wasn't you, I apologize. But like, he had like, you could tell he had a busted ankle or he had a busted wrist because he could barely ride the ramp and he kept looking at his hand and I'm like, oh dude, I know that hurts.
Yeah.
But RL was so dialed, bro. So dialed. And like, I think the first three sessions that so BMX shows, they used to go out, they'd be like, okay, they'd go out session for like 5 minutes and then they'd come back and the next person would go out and do a flatland trick for 5 minutes. And then a ramp rider would come for a couple, like do a couple low airs or some kick ramp. And then it'd be back to flatland. And then they'd always wrap the show up with like big air time. Right.
Yeah.
And so RL, dude, his first couple things, dude, he was doing like G turns. He was doing footwork. He was doing like, he did like backyard infinity rolls, all this stuff, dude, did not touch once, dude. And the thing about it is like, I was good at riding flatland. But I always rode at the same spot with the same flat ground. And I knew the area. And you see these guys show up at like sketchy parking lot with like potholes and like a cambered, like, you know, like it's, yeah, it's not necessarily the most even. So it's like
not ideal,
not perfect. Right. You know, and still they would somehow manage to like just wow the crowd. And I was like, man, RL was so dialed. And so smooth. It just blew my mind. I forgot, I guess, how dialed RL was. You know what I mean? So just an amazing thing to watch. And so when we talk, like when you hear us talk about RL, like it's, you know, he's the second coming of Christ. He really was that good. And, you know, you see guys like, and same with Buff, like you see Buff and it's like, you forget how good these guys are until you see like, oh, here's Buff jumping over a Porsche. And you're like, he's like 15 feet in the air to flat on a sketchy 80s bike with like paper thin dropouts. You know what I mean? Like we really didn't have good geometry back then on bikes. And we really didn't know a whole lot about like the stresses of BMX bikes.
Right.
Like we do, like we do now.
Yeah. And here they are just like doing things that you just
jump the Porsche. Okay.
Sure. Why not?
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. If you bend the rims, put them in the freezer.
Yeah. Cause that works.
Yeah. I think we've talked about this. Did you ever put Tufts in the freezer?
Of course. I remember I told you I had to clear out shit out.
Oh,
of the
that's
freezer,
right.
And then my mom would
kind
of rip into me for it. And guess what? It doesn't work.
It doesn't. Yeah.
No, it didn't work for me, man.
I remember my friend tried to put some Z rims, like some Bike Buff Z rims in a freezer and it didn't. And I was like, it only works on Tough Wheels, bro. Everyone knows that. I didn't know. Like,
I think I posted up something on ACS Z rims a couple days ago.
Yeah.
I just like, sometimes I like putting up old advertisements out of magazines.
Yeah.
And Mike responded to something like, crap, you know, like everybody hit me up was like, these suck. And I'm like, yeah, I know, dude, but it's a cool advertisement. They put two Z rims together as two yellow ones that look like the McDonald's arches. And the advertisement said 100% beef.
Oh, like, that's funny.
Yeah.
Dude, 80s advertising was so dope. I miss that stuff, man.
Oh, I love it too, man.
But yeah, dude, just a cool experience. I'm glad they got to see each other. I hope they do. I hope they got it on film. I'm sure Dylan got some good footage of it. And I'd love to see those guys. I'd love to be a fly on the wall watching.
Yeah, who wouldn't? I'd love that too.
I would, people are asking us like, dude, you guys should interview them. And of course we'd love to interview them, but man, I'd also like to, that would be the most dope interview because I would just ask a question and sit back and shut up and just like, let them go.
You know, I mean, you just have to provide the spark to the kindling and then
put the camera down and then just go, okay, favorite bike, discuss.
It wouldn't be so much as an interview. We would be like almost like a moderator, just like just like adding like talking points or something, you know. We wouldn't have to do shit.
No,
dude, nobody would want to hear us anyways, man.
Hell no. I wouldn't want to hear you. I wouldn't want to hear me.
I wouldn't want to hear you talking during their interview.
No.
Conversation.
No, just no. I just want to watch a reality TV like special with just them hanging out in Mike's garage talking about like the sketchy things that they wrote. And
I wonder if we can just like work with Mike and RL and like pitch this to like, maybe they can do like a That's Incredible reunion special or something, or you know, we can get them on like a network program.
Yeah, so if you know anybody at Netflix, hit me up, or Craig.
Hell,
hit
us up.
We would love to get Mike Buff and RL with their own TV show. That would The Odd Couple. That'd be fun. I don't know. Do you want to get into the topic we will not discuss? I don't know.
I want to bring that up in a little bit, but there's a couple things that we kind of left out of the news. I want to bring up one thing, kind of like a PSA, that Todd was posting on his page on Instagram. There is, you know, with success comes people that want to take advantage of success, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one thing that I just saw Todd post up, I want people to know about this. There's a fake SE website out there, folks.
Mm-hmm.
There's a freaking fake SE website. I wasn't going to give the website.com address or name, whatever.
Give it away. No, I think you have to.
I think you have to, because people need to know. If you see SE bikes for sale online at sebikeshop.com or any other website that are selling new SE bikes for like what, $300 or $400, people, it's fake. Don't buy into it. It's a scam. You're not getting a new SE bike.
No, here's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You're going to enter your credit card information. You're going to think you're buying a brand new SE bike for $300-$400. You're never going to get the money back. And they are going to sell your credit card information. So they do this for anytime there's like a big popular thing, people will scam and do this. So how many times have you got that website sent to you this week? I've had three people send it to me.
I would say quite a bit.
I've only had three people send it and just be like, dude, did you see this?
Yeah.
And it's like, even if I don't have time to reply to something, like I could be at work and somebody sends me that link and I see it, I will stop what I'm doing and instantly reply so that they don't enter their credit card information.
And that's the scary part, because, you know, there's some folks who are like, bro, I just landed on the golden goose.
Right.
Look at this. I mean, like, I can't even find a bike, but here's one at a price that's like off the charts, you know?
Right.
It's like, I'm going to get this. I can get the bike I want now. And it's only $400.
Right. Yeah. You guys, there's a couple things you can do to spot these sites. If the price is too good, it's too good. If you notice, like, you know, there's no way, like if you call the phone number on the site and it doesn't sound like a busy bike shop, you know, might be fake. There's a lot, like, look up the address to that's listed on the site. Cause you have to have, like, if they don't have an address listed, big red flag. If they have an address listed, look it up and see if it looks like a bike shop. Google it. Do your research before you hand over $800 to anybody. Because yeah, like it's just,
I just don't want to see people get taken. I mean, because I'm sure there's some kids out there that could, you know, hey mom, hey dad, I found the bike. Remember that bike I was trying to get? Here it is. Here's the price.
Can I use it? Yeah.
And it's about half. And I can find, nah, dude, come on.
Yeah. Yeah. It's SEBikesShop.com. Yeah.
Right.
Don't go there, because I don't even know that site isn't throwing some sketchy malware on your computer when you go there. But just know that if you see a bike shop that's selling, an online bike shop that's selling SE bikes for under MSRP, which you can go to the SE site and see, SEBikes.com is a legit site. You can see what the recommended price is. And I promise you, you're not going to see a shop selling cheaper than, I mean, if they're selling cheaper than MSRP, you walk into the shop and you see it, unless you can walk out with that bike. If it's online, it's probably a scam. And I don't want to be negative like that, but I do want to be very honest and real with you. Just because, like, I grew up with a single mom and we didn't have a whole lot of money, and I would have seen that. And my initial gut would have been like, this is too good to be true, but what if it's not? And I could easily see, talking my mom into spending, you know, $400, $500 on a bike that is normally $900 and thinking, you know, maybe it's real. Don't you guys just be careful.
That doesn't exist. I mean, it's not going to be shipped to you. The only thing that's going to happen, like you said, you're going to get ripped off.
They're going to sell your credit card information and empty your bank account.
Right. So you're going to go through a ton of headache and heartache after you figure out you got scammed, because all those other crappy things are going to happen to you.
Yeah.
Ain't worth it. I just wanted to throw that out there.
No, I appreciate you doing that. I didn't even think about that. That's a good call.
Yeah. So on to the next. Yeah, we can bring up what you wanted to talk about.
I don't know if I want to talk about it. I'm still, it's going to, so there's a, let's see. Okay. So
take a breath and pause.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of dead air in case you want to cut it out. And then it's kind of like easy. it's going to open up some saltiness, bro.
Okay, you guys, here's the deal. Redline Bicycles is doing a remake of an RL22 frame, fork, handlebars, and sprocket, I believe, right?
And race plate.
This was an iconic bike that was ridden, designed, made popular by RL Osborne, who we were just talking about. Redline posted just recently that they are going to do a remake. Basically, it's like a, millimeter for millimeter repop of this bike. They're not changing. Like when John does it with Haro, he'll do cool stuff. Like he'll make the master, but he'll, like, you know, won't have the weird frame stand that like would tear your shoes up. Like he would, it's still the master, but it would like modern geometry or get rid of the frame stand that used to cut your shoes up or just do little things that are different, just a little bit different. This though, from what I read, is an exact duplicate of the original 80, whatever, 85, 86, 87 Redline RL22. Am I on the right track?
No, and I just want to point out, we're stating facts and we are telling you what we're reading and it's all from our vantage point, right?
Yep.
So from what you've said, there's nothing that's not correct.
Yeah. I think they went on sale today, didn't they not?
They started, it's either today or tomorrow. I want to say it was today.
I think it was today.
So
was the price what we thought it was going to be?
That I don't know. I didn't look at price, but these are, so they're pre-orders, right? I didn't look at anything after their initial announcement. These are pre-order bikes. So I don't know if I saw like, and I don't know if I would expect it to have it, but they usually say, okay, pre-orders released on October 27th, expectation of delivery or bikes available February of 2021. I just made that up. I made that date up. So don't think that that's part of it.
Sure.
I don't think I saw a delivery date for these. And I think that wasn't, so I want to back up a little bit. So I read through, so this was on Facebook as well, the announcement, and there was a lot of conversation and comments and pretty heated comments. Some of them were, you know, in my opinion, valid, made good points. I can't go over each one. I can't remember every comment that was made, but, you know, there's a lot of heat going around this and maybe, you know, that's based around what you had just mentioned, that the fact that the bike is basically a carbon copy of the bike that was originally, produced and put out by Redline back in the mid 80s, correct?
Yep.
Yeah. So,
all right. So I can tell you the price is what we thought it would be. I'm looking to see if it's sold out. I'm scrolling to the bottom of the page. It is not sold out. Okay.
And they're so sold out and they were limiting the numbers to 300. Was that still correct?
Let me see if they give you a number. Pre-orders for the frame and fork packages open late October. It's now. They predict the finished packages will be ready to ship no later than July 2020.
No, 2021.
I'm sorry. Yeah, 2021. Did I say I said 2020? Yeah. And I don't see the number on here, but I remember hearing 300 as well.
Let's just go with 300 because that's the number.
It says limited edition serialized reissue the most. The price is what we thought it would be. It's $1,599.
Cool. $1,600.
You get a Redline sprocket handlebars with the plate, the frame, I guess, in the fork. And they do make the Radberry package. Colors look beautiful. They make a red one, a yellow one, Hazard Yellow, Radberry, California Red. All the same price. Okay. And it looks like I'm just looking at the rest of it, what they have in here. Yeah, it's just pictures of them. Okay.
Okay.
So I don't have a dog in this fight as far as like, this did kick off quite a bit of controversy yesterday. And it was very interesting to me. To see how heated the conversation got over this bike. It's, you know, I don't, t- what do you, what, I don't know that I really care that much about it. The minute that I saw the price tag, I was like, I'm out. There's two things that took me out of this bike. And this is where the controversy is going to kick in, but I feel like I'm just going to say what I feel, and I respect your opinion. I'm just going to give you mine. Okay.
Go for it.
You can't have the RL22 made by Redline and not have RL deeply involved in the reissue. And this one, there's no RL involved in it. And so for $1,599, $1,600, and not delivering the bike until, geez, like 10 months from now, it's hard for me to get really excited about it. It's just like such a reality bike for me. Plus it's a 20 inch bike. So I wouldn't be able to ride it. It's one of those, like, I guess this is one of those ones that people would buy if they just want to relive. Here's where I think the niche is. If you want to buy the Redline and you don't have the patience to, I guess, piece one from the 80s back together, here's a great way to base a bike and do it all over again. Or it's for those kids like me. Now here's the thing, Craig, if they did this with an Ozone, I'd be all over it. That's the hard part, right? If they repopped an Ozone, I would be like, let's go.
Okay. Well, so I understand that, but to your point, the Ozone wasn't a signature bike.
No, sure wasn't.
So there's that. And I can understand you being on the, all over the Ozone. But I think you had a really valid point where you were starting with, your reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Cause you're, and you guys understand this. I'm not as tied into the bike market and the collector market like Craig is. So, the reason Craig and I are having this conversation is cause we had this long conversation about this off camera. And I think Craig has some really fascinating insights that are different than the way I think. And so you may think that Craig and I, like, just because we're best friends and we agree on everything BMX when it comes to big bikes, Craig and I see this differently. But I also want you to see that, like, there's two best friends can have a conversation about something that we disagree on and still have a lot of love for one another. Like, so it's just, this is us having this conversation that we've somewhat touched on before. Okay. Continue.
No, I was, and great point. I don't know if I have a huge stake in the market of vintage bikes or collectible bikes, 'cause I don't own any.
No, but you understand it though.
But I understand it. And when we're done with this, when we're kind of ending on this conversation, I'm just going to say this. If you want, I could read RL's his post today, what he said about it, so we can all be fair with with that.
100%, yeah.
Okay, so we can do that. But I read a lot. I read a lot of the conversations that were going on with the bike and the remake and the reissue. Here's not necessarily my opinion, but here's what people were saying, and here's where I thought the main points were.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we touched on it. One, you're making an RL signature bike. You're reissuing it millimeter for millimeter with no changes to the bike, right?
Yep.
The exact same bike, which is taking away from the value of the guys who have those original bikes out there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm not saying that's my argument. That is an argument, or at least a point of
contention. It's a point. Yeah.
It's a point, right? Mm-hmm. They're the guys who are, the OG collector owners of this bike are going, whoa, stop. No, this, you can't do it like this. That's one point. Two, they're asking for money up front to basically, like, they're
funding this. They're funding
funded by the pre-orders.
It's a GoFundMe.
It's a GoFundMe. Like, they can't do this project without.
I'm sorry, it's not a GoFundMe. It's a Kickstarter. That's what it is.
Yeah, it's like a Kickstarter, right? BMX Kickstarter. Okay. Yeah. So, so they're just saying, look, dude, we're just going to float this money out there. And what happens if they don't get all the money? What happens if they don't sell? Like, when is this bike going to come out for those who do decide to pre-order it. You know, so there's things like that. And then the RL factor.
Yep.
How are you going to do a signature bike that RL Osborne designed with Lynn Kasten, right? And Lynn and RL, how are you going to put this bike out there now without involving RL in the project or having him on board to promote this or to be a part of the project as the signature rider of this bike? Mm-hmm. That's another point. So on and on. I mean, there's more, Isaac, but I'm just saying, like, these were the major points that I saw.
Yeah.
You know, and to a point where these topics were like, hell no, I'm not getting this bike. If RL's not putting his time, effort, and signature on this project, I wouldn't even look at these. I'm not even going to, no, hell no. Then the guys are going, wait a second, I'm not floating, no project money. I'm not happy with how this is handled. I'm not happy with who's running it. I'm not happy with the project person involved. So there's a lot of like contention.
Yeah. You know? Would you want one?
Well, want one and of course I've always wanted a Redline RL22 bike.
Yeah.
Last year I had the opportunity to buy one in Hazard Yellow from 1987. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. Right. Dude, I wanted that bike. For some of the reasons and just personally out there for that I just mentioned, I don't want this bike. I personally don't want it.
Does it feel dirty because RL's not involved?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
If the price was $800 for a frame fork and all that stuff, would that change your mind?
No. No. It wouldn't be a money thing. I can afford the bike at $1,600. Even if I've got to put another $1,600 into it. You know, obviously you got to build it up.
Yeah.
I do have some, you know, there's a little bit of me thinking like, why not do it like Haro does with their bikes, like you mentioned. Mm-hmm. Change something on it. Modernize the geometry. Do something that doesn't take the value away from the older design and call this the Redline RL22 heritage.
Yeah.
Or lineage version.
Here's the difference.
Not to interrupt. Yeah.
No, go.
My main, if for me personally, like the whole thing with RL not being involved, mm-hmm. that pulls me out of just wanting to be a, you know, consideration of getting that bike.
Yeah.
It really does. But that's my personal opinion. It may anger some people. It may trigger some people. That's fine. I get it.
I don't care if it does. Right. Like, well, here's the thing. We're all friends. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Not everyone's going to agree with me. Not everyone's going to agree with you. Not everyone's going to agree with Redline. Not everyone's going to agree with Haro and Bob, like, and John Bolton's. But that's the beauty of BMX. We talked about this stuff when we were kids. We're talking about it now. So I don't care if it triggers you. Just understand, like, we hear you. I understand your point.
Yeah. We're hearing you.
Yeah, like I totally get it. Like if this is your, I don't judge you if you buy one. Like if this is your opportunity, you're like, I'm on it, man. I'm buying that. I've wanted that Hazard Yellow bike since I saw Rad, and I'm going to build that thing up. Dude, build your bike. Have a great time. I totally understand that. My thing is this. Like I feel like Haro did it right because like you see the Bob Haro Freestyler, and it's like there's pictures of Bob Haro with it. He wrote his name on the box. Dominguez. Like they showed, like the trailer had Dominguez riding the bike, building the bike. You know, you got to see Mike on that sport. And I'm like, dude, that's dope. You know what I mean? Like there's just something about it when you have the rider that rode it, because I'm not buying the bike because it's Redline. I'm buying the bike because I remember RL shredding that bike. You know, I'm not buying the sport because like Haro, I'm buying the sport because I remember Mike Dominguez like tearing out of pipeline on that bike.
Yeah, dude, how many times did I tell you I wanted a Radberry bike?
Yeah.
I wanted the Radberry bike, dude, with the Tufts. And then, like, I already have the bike built in my head.
Yeah.
The way I would do it. Like, right. I could build it tomorrow if that bike dropped on my doorstep.
Sure.
That doesn't mean...
You got to do it the right way.
You got to do it the right way.
Yeah, you know? I agree.
And I agree with you, and I'm gonna, and I totally agree with you with the way that John Bulchins creates his lineage and heritage lineup.
Yeah,
I totally agree with that.
Yeah, the DNA is there, but it's just a little bit different. And I feel like he does it in a way that doesn't disrespect his collectors. Doesn't like diss Blyther or Mike or Bob or Dave Norrie or any of those guys that rode those bikes.
Yeah.
So I think that's the difference, dude. I think like if they would have kept RL, or they could have found a way to get RL to be part of the project, then I think, and I don't know why RL, that, here's the thing, we don't know why RL is not part of the project. Like,
I don't know if we need to know. I mean,
it's not my business. Like, it's between them. You know what I mean? But like, RL, there's a reason.
Yeah. He, you know, like I said, I'm going to read you something that he's written on social media.
Read me what he says. Cause I'm curious. Cause that dude, he pulls no punches. Like, he'll tell you.
No, he does. So this is from RL Osborne. I'll just read it in its entirety.
Yeah.
It says afternoon. This red line thing has been going on for 6 months. Some uncomfortable thing started to transpire. This was not the way I wanted to do a project. This was broken and I was out. Again, not with Lynn or Redline. The meaningless texts, emails, and contacting one of my best friends continued throughout. I stayed quiet and wished Redline and Lynn my best. Then ads on my page came across without explaining that I'm not involved. That was it. Dylan and I had enough. Dylan laid it out in a post. I back him 100%. You all are hearing about 20% of what really happened. I will sit on that until I can't. I want to get back to riding in peace and enjoying this stuff. In that post, Haro Bikes was mentioned and should not have been. We apologize for this. Some thought it was directed at John Bulchins. It was not. I have heard nothing but good things about John Bulchins. From what I understand, John does everything possible to create quality bikes. According to my friends, his reputation stands tall. You guys have a good, and then I think it was going to say night, but that was it.
Yeah.
So, so basically what I take from that is, you know, RL wants people to know, hey, there's no beef out there. It didn't work. Right. Like he's not a part of the project. It's not a fault of anyone's. It's just whatever the dealings were that he was in with Redline just didn't make that connection. And there's a lot. And he's basically saying, you guys don't know the half. You only know 20% of what's going on, and what's not known, I'm going to hold that tight to the vest.
Yeah.
And when I feel like you need to know, if I can, you know, if I want to, if I feel compelled to let you guys know what's going on, because right now this is private,
right?
I'll let you know. Otherwise, just know that I'm not part of this.
And us BMX people are nosy. Let me tell you, we want to know all of it.
Nosy, and we got social media so we can all talk and, you know, see what each other are saying. And
bunch of grumpy old dudes that do nothing but sit around and look at bike parts and try and find old bike shop stock. And we're just going to sit around and gossip. And
that's what we do.
Love it. Oh my God, do we love to gossip.
You're good at it, bro.
So,
but
I don't know, man. I think you're right. I think he's right. John Bulchins is a stand-up dude. I trust what he does. But here's like, for me, like you can't make a red line without RL. It's like, as much as I make, like, here's the thing, like, dude, if you put out a Skyway Street Beat and you didn't involve Scotty Freeman with it, as much as I like to joke about Scotty Freeman, like, it's not a street beat to me unless Scotty Freeman made that bike really famous in my world.
Made the bike famous, wasn't a signature bike, so to speak, but Scotty Freeman was always on a street beat.
Yeah, you would. I mean,
automatically tie it to Scotty.
It does. And so does. And here's the thing. Scotty came in and defended some of the dealing with it, which is kind of interesting. It was cool to see Scott. It's Scott Freeman now, by the way. But to me, you're always going to be Scotty Freeman. So I'm going to call you Scotty Freeman. But yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, dude. Like, I associate bikes with people. It's like putting out a, I don't know, Like if somebody were to try and put out like a replica NASCAR without acknowledging the driver of the car. You know what I mean? It's just different. Yeah, yeah. It's weird. It's just weird. It's like having a Montana jersey without Montana's name on the back. It's like, here's a replica 1649ers jersey, but it doesn't say Montana. You're like, is it a Montana jersey then?
Yeah, it's kind of like that if you want to, you know, put it into those terms, of course. So
I don't watch baseball, so I don't know, but I'm just saying.
That was football.
Okay. Yeah. Whatever.
Now we know.
Whatever. So, yeah, man, I mean, you know, I would say, like, if it's my opinion, dude, if you really want that red line, go find an OG red line because I think you'll be happier with it in the end. You know,
that's the thing, you know, they're not easy to find, dude.
They're not, dude.
We can say, go, you know, don't do this. Go get one of those that are like unicorns. Like, this is like, okay. So
I'm trying to find an ozone. I get it, bro. I totally get it.
This is the way that guys now who can't find them can go, dude, I might be able to get one of these 300, but then there's everything we just talked about. Okay.
I just don't know. Like, are they going to be that happy with it in the end? Cause here's the thing. You're going to show up to some bike show and people will be like, oh, that's a tainted red line. You know, they'll be like, that's one of the dirty red lines.
They're going to brand an asterisk in it. Like they did, Barry Bonds baseball or something. But
yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, there's just a lot of energy around this. There's a lot of drama there's just a lot of people going back and forth. I kind of like the guys who kept chiming in the chat room I don't know what it's called. What is that shit called?
It's called It's called a post, Craig, on Facebook. Yeah. And so, you post on someone else's
technically challenged here, y'all.
In
the thread, right? Some guys were like, I don't know what you guys are all yapping about. Just get out and fucking ride your bike.
Right.
You know, that was the inner child in me. Like, holy shit, there's so much going on here. Can we all just ride our bikes again? You know?
Right.
So there's that. And that's kind of what I kept defaulting to, you know, but I support RL Osborne. I support Dylan. And I understand the point of view from so many different points of view.
I love it. I think it's great. I thought it was a great conversation. I loved listening to it. Some people got salty. Some people stayed very civil. Fred Blood jumped in there. Like, it was just interesting all the way around. It was interesting, dude. So anyway, there you go. That's the red line take. You know, I'm excited to see how it goes. I'm interested to see how it goes. I thought they'd be sold out by now, and they're not. So I guess that's a statement in and of itself.
It could be. And the thing is, folks, Isaac and I, as I've said in the past, we have a podcast. We're going to talk about this shit. Sometimes we consider, like, should we, shouldn't we? And then we always do. Don't we, dude? Don't we always?
I feel like we do. Like, here's the thing, dude. This doesn't have anything to do with big bikes either. I just thought, like, because we're two old school dudes and this is an old school bike, I thought it was interesting.
Well, here's the thing.
I don't have a dog in the fight. If the only dog I have in this fight is that like RL's not involved. And for me, I mean, even if I didn't know RL, I'd still feel the same way.
We are big bike BMX. If it's big, it's BMX is in the name of the show, bro.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean we could talk about whatever the hell we want. Yeah. 20-inch bikes. We could talk about cruisers.
Yeah. Hey, you know, if anybody has some Peregrine Q bars, let me know, by the way. I'm looking for some.
Yeah, I couldn't find you any at the swap meet.
I appreciate it. Dude, I sent Craig a picture of some Peregrine Q bars because I'd like to try those on my PK.
Christmas is coming up, y'all. Give Santa some Peregrine Q bars, please.
Yeah, the old ones, though, not the Q2s, the Q1s.
The Q1s, yeah.
Yeah. Do you know what's funny, dude? Every pair of those bars are like crooked, too. I own three pairs.
I was going to say, you had a few, didn't you?
I own three pairs from the shop, dude, and they were all crooked, every single one of them. Okay, one more thing I'll bring up and then we'll let it go. I'm teasing this. What do you think about, like, if someone were to, like, get a custom bike made? You know what I mean? Like, they hit up, like...
Like what?
If I were to hit up... Because, I want an ozone, right? If I were to hit up Rick Monterno from Standard.
Yeah.
And like, hey, dude, can you make me a 27.5 ozone replica? If I were to be like, hey, can you make me a 27.5 RL22?
I don't like the setup. I don't like the scenario of asking Rick to make an ozone. I would say, like, if you knew, like, if there was a fabricator out there, right?
Dude, he made a Trickstar, though. Like, you saw him make, he made
a Trickstar. Yeah, that's true. Okay, so that's fair.
He'll make whatever you want, dude. Like, that's his thing. Like, it even says on his website, like, dude, you want that dream bike? I'll build it for you.
Yeah, and there's a company that, like, fabricates Mongoose bikes. True Torch. Maybe it's True Torch. I don't know. But, and... So what about it? So would that be like blasphemous to ask that of someone?
No, I mean, if someone were to make a 27.5 RL22, would you feel the same way about you do about this reissue? Or is it because Redline is officially reissuing it?
I think it's because Redline's doing it.
Yeah, I do too.
I think that's the difference, right? It's put out by the brand. Anybody has the right to go out there and, I mean, you can remake any damn bike you want if you find someone with the skills and talents to do that for you. But I think, you know, if the company that originally made the bike, the brand is putting it back out, dude. Come on, man.
Oh, you can have anybody make your bike. You want to talk about the rusty COVID bikes or no? Too soon?
Hell no. It's already out, dude. It's not like we're leaking anything from the, you know.
So
it's out. It's been told, man. Talk about it.
Okay. So there's a post on 24/26/29. Someone bought it, one of the S&M COVID bikes, translucent. And dude, it's got like some rust underneath the paint job already. That bike just came out, dude.
It did, but you know.
How do you feel about it?
I think to be fair, it's for the process that's used, you know, a translucent clear over a raw frame, it's not unknown that those things can happen and do happen. S&M puts a sticker on the bike, I believe, that says that, you know, that's a possibility that you should be aware of it. So I think it's buyer beware.
I have a dude, here's the thing. I have a raw intricate flatland frame, mm-hmm. downstairs. It's covered. I bought it from Gabe Weed, Cheap Goods. It's clear coated over raw. Zero rust.
Right. But what I'm saying is, with that process, does it mean every bike's going to rust? No, I don't think so. But what I think it says is because of the process used, that may happen. They put a damn sticker on the bike. You know, it's
SE forgets a washer, dude, and they like want to hang Scott or Todd by his toenails. But I here's the thing, dude. Okay, you guys, I love you guys. I love everything about like the American made over China bikes. I love reading that stuff all day long. I have a grip of SE bikes and I love them with all my heart. Everybody knows that. I have nothing, like, if you want to ride an American made and that's what your heartstrings pull you to and that's what you're like, I'm gonna die on this sword. I just thought it was so funny. People were like, there's two threads I can think of in the last month, dude, that just make me smile. The first one was the Gary Turner bike that had the really bad welds that were like, this dude's like, are these welds normal? And you look at it and you're like, oh God, they were bad welds, dude. No one can deny that. Craig Turner himself would be like, yeah, those are kind of, I think he would admit that. I'm not dogging Gary Turner at all. Gary Turner's a god. But there was a bike that was put on the forums where the welds were just not good. I'll just say it like that. Welds were not good on that bike. And then, but people were like, American, right? And then you see the rusty COVID bike and people are just like, that's all right. It's not a big deal. It's patina, adds character. I swear to God, dude, if that happened to an SE bike, they'd be like cheap China shit. Cheap right. China bike all day long. So to me, I'm just laughing at that, you guys. But man, you want to ride American, do it. You want to spend the extra money on American bikes, do it. But just understand when you like the crowds that are just all over the SE because they're made in China, and then something like that happens, you can't not expect the other crowd to go, that American quality though.
Now what say you?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It was funny. There's nothing wrong with those bikes, you guys. The COVID bikes are cool. I'm not like, for me, dude, even though I grew up like in the 80s, dude, I can't get into that Cook Brothers style. It looks like a beach cruiser. I couldn't get into it. If they would have made that bike look like an ATF or like, you know, a dirt bike, like the S&M dirt bike or something like that, I'd have been like, cool. But the fact it was like
that's their holy grail. I mean, it all comes down to your taste, your style. And yeah, I agree with you, man, on the, you know, the China versus USA, Taiwan versus USA, all that stuff. It's like, now what say you?
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
dude, there's some local guys here that buy nothing but Bassetts and they love them. And, mm-hmm. For me, you know what I mean? I'm like, dude, cool. Cause you know what? It's just another person I can ride bikes with, and talk about good old days. And you know what I mean? I think it's fun. And it's just something we all just like to chit chat and bullshit and gossip about.
Yeah, it's easy to dissect and analyze it and, you know, look at it from our points of view. But at the end of the day, just bring your damn bike out, you know?
Go ride it. Yeah, go ride your bike.
If you tell me you have a bike, but you don't ride it, then we're not going to ride. I'm probably not going to hang out with you. I'll respect you. You like bikes. We can talk about bikes, but hopefully we could talk about them during...
I'll let you borrow. I'll let you borrow one of my cheap China bikes, so you can come at least go ride with me.
Yeah,
we can ride around and talk about. Yeah,
I truly don't want to sit and talk to you about your bike if you have a bike. I'd rather you grab that sucker and pull it out of your garage or off the wall or whatever, right? And let's go ride. You know,
I just like it's just I don't know. What's funny is like it used to bother me so hard when you see people buy like. You know, wet chrome cranks and like, you know, billet washers and all this stuff. And I'm just like, but do you ride it? You know what I mean? And that's kind of like where there's like the two schools of like, do you ride it or is a carpet queen?
Yeah.
And at this point for me, dude, I'm just like, I'm stoked that you're in the bike still. You know what I mean? Like there's not enough as old, like, and especially if you're an old head like me and you, you know what I mean? Like I love going out and talk about it. Like, but I'm not going to ask you about your carpet queen bike. I'm going to ask you, like, tell me about the flight cranks you had when you were a kid. You know, I'm going to ask you about, like, you know, like, what was your favorite 09 number plate? You know what I mean? What stickers did you use to try and, like, save up your money for? I want to talk to you about, like, those kind of days. But it just means that we're in the same tribe, even if you ride one of those, like, crazy $6,000 billet washer bikes.
Yeah, you might find me like just out of the blue laughing sometimes when we're talking. I'll just
I'll laugh about how much you spent on it and you can laugh about how much, you know, how cheap my bike is or something. I don't care. It doesn't bother me a bit. You know what I mean? I'm like, it's just someone else to ride with and it's just something else to talk about and BMX, you know. So I think that's you guys at the end of the day, that's what's the most important thing. Whether you're passionate about bikes because you like the chase and the hunt and you like to rebuild your old bikes. You know, I think I'm starting to come around on the BMX museum type guys that are just like, you know what, they're in it for, cause they're as passionate about bikes as I am. I just want to ride them now. And they just want to relive, you know, what they had as a kid. And I totally understand that, man. It's just, you know, different parts of the same hobby. But we all have a common bond. We all read magazines. We all, you know, if I say Scotty, you know, Freeman, you know what I mean? If I say RL, you know, Osborne. You know, if I say
we all speak the same language,
it's,
man.
It's all the same,
it's,
dude.
It's just where, what we do with it, you know? And yeah. I you know what, man, I'm going to give you a shout out, bro. I appreciate what you just said. You're like, I'm coming around and it's like, it's not you, you know, that's the museum guys. I'm not saying they're all collectors. A lot of those guys ride, but it's like, just because they're not doing what we're doing, we can actually go, you know what? I appreciate that. I've said that in the past. And so have you.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it like that, but I appreciate what they're doing with it because at the end of the day, we're all, you know, we can all speak the BMX language.
Yeah.
You know, we're all trying to do the same thing as far as our passions and what we surround it with. And that's bikes, mm-hmm. you know, so 100%. Build it, put it on a wall, put your bike together the way you want it to look, how you want it to look, spend the money you want to spend on it. Mm-hmm. Probably not my way, but then again, you probably look at me like that dipshit's riding a bike that I wouldn't ride. I don't know.
Yeah.
So yeah.
this dude this weekend, like when we went on our family bike ride, my little non ride out ride, I took Colin and his family and, you know, people that show up, like, if you come to my ride, your bike's going to get dusty as shit because we're going to ride on a bunch of dusty trails. I'm going to take you through a park. I'm going to show you all the cool stuff around my house. You know, and like, it was funny because one of the guys was like, man, I'm glad so-and-so didn't come because, you know, they wouldn't want to get their bike dusty. You know what I mean? And I'm just like, cool. You know what I mean? Like, you can borrow one of mine.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, like, it's just funny. Like, cause they were like, man, you should really tell people like your bikes are going to get dusty if you go on your ride. And I, it just didn't even dawn on me to tell people like your bike's going to get dusty. You know what I mean? I get home and I have to like hose my bikes down with a right. hose because they're so dusty. It's a desert, by the way. I live in Phoenix. So,
yeah, oh, same thing out here with rain. You know, I've been on ride outs where it's like sunny day starting out and an hour later it's downpour and you're
right.
You know, your bike's getting wet, dude.
Yeah.
And when you get home, you're going to have to do your maintenance on it. You're going to have to dry it. You're going to have to think about your moving parts.
Put some oil on your chain. Yeah.
Yeah. Enjoy riding the bike in the rain though. Enjoy riding the bike down that dirt trail and, you know, enjoy that part instead of, you know, I would enjoy that instead of going, oh my gosh, my bike's getting dirty. You can clean it off.
Here's the thing.
The ride.
You are 1 millisecond away from not being able to ride a bike. If you really think about it, like you could be hit by a car, you could be in a car wreck, you could have a stroke. I mean, dude, like we are all, life is fragile. You know what I mean? And so ride your bikes, have fun with them, do what you're going to do with them. But man, just, there's going to be a time in your life when you look back and you're like, I would give my left nut to go and pedal a bicycle down the road right now. And I can't. Yeah. So, you know, just have fun with it, man.
Have fun.
That's what we're all for. That's what we're all about. All right, man. Dude, thanks for hanging out with me, dude. That was fun. I had a good time.
Hell yeah. Always have a good time, dude.
Congratulations to RL and Buff. I'm stoked that you guys got to have that. Congratulations to everybody that's about to pick up a new SE bike that's dropping. I'm excited for y'all. Anybody that picked up this Redline and you're stoked about it, cool. Stoked for you. Congratulations. Have fun with that build, you know, and go out there and have a good time.
Yeah, man. And if you got your bike or when you get your bike and you're ready to do some custom upgrades to it, don't forget to go check out Knight Bike Co. for their upgraded, awesome, amazing parts. Yeah, you'll want to check them out. You want to get on board with that. And yeah,
we have a new sponsor too. We haven't really announced it yet. Do you want to talk about that or you want to wait till next episode?
I want to talk about it right now.
All right. So Crush Gloves, Crush Moto. If you just Google Crush Gloves, you'll find them. They started hooking us up. I'm a big fan of their gloves, dude. I've been riding Crush Gloves for like a year. I got some like a year ago. The ones that I'm riding right now actually have the Grinch, like how the Grinch stole Christmas on them.
Sweet.
Comfy gloves, dude. They are, that's like a, I don't know what you call them, man. It's almost like they're a tight fitting glove. It's not like the old school, like leather palm and lots of padding. It is a padded, it's got a little bit of padding on the palm, very lightweight and thin on the top. And then it has, I've tried to describe this rubber coating that's on the palm, and it's also on the two fingers that you grip your brake with. I was like, it's like this weird rubber coating. And you know, my kids described it better than anything. They're like, it's the stuff that's on the bottom of your socks when you go to a trampoline park. I was like,
yeah, that's pretty damn good. That's exactly what it's like when you,
it's 100%. Yeah. If you're a dad or a mom and you've taken your kids to a trampoline park and they make you buy those like rubbery bottomed feet, like socks, so you don't slide out on the trampolines, that's the coating, that they print the palm and the fingers of these Crush MX gloves. They're comfy.
Can you not notice the awesome graphics and designs on the top of the hands? Like,
dude, all of them are funny. Are they
the craziest, right?
They do some funny ones, dude. They just did some Rick and Morty?
Rick and Morty, yeah.
Rick and Morty, they did some Simpsons. I got the Crushed. I have ones that are like Miami. It's like a Miami with like it's like a weird 80s sunset with like palm trees. I have that one. That's probably my favorite pair. but my kids take that one. So then I always end up with a Grinch because they're like, it's not Christmas, I'm not wearing these. So I get stuck with the Grinch, before, how the Grinch stole Christmas. Nice. They have some Space Jam ones. They have some like, I don't know how to describe it other than the shocker okay, gloves. Yeah. It's the only way to describe it.
Right? All right. They got some shocker gloves.
But it's always funny to see, like, my favorite part is when you look at the palm, just to see like the little nod that they put in the, on the fingers. On my Miami ones, it's like some palm trees. On the Grinch ones, it's like some cherries, which is some kind of Grinch reference to like the, I think what he put in front of the reindeer, the dog reindeer or something. I don't know, but it's just funny to see what they put on there, dude. It's interesting. Nice. They have some Cheech and Chong ones. They have some alcoholic beverage knockoffs. So they have some silver bullets and some, I don't know what you call the other ones, a popular adult beverage that is a beer that is also called, Clydesdales are involved.
Dude,
I'm trying to dance around the just, brand name.
Why? They're not going to come after us or anything. We could, if it's on the gloves, we could say it, right?
It's like the king of wheelies. But anyway, so yeah, Crush Gloves, they're a sponsor now, and they're really cool. They have some interesting bands that you can buy that I think are pretty cool. So the bands, unlike the Rideout Supply, like the Rideout Supply ones, are just like a basic band that have the, you know, RIP the haters. Everyone knows them and loves them. Crush makes them that look like BMX chains, like bike chains that are pretty cool. And then they've got some glasses and t-shirts and hoodies and stuff. It's just, they've got all kinds of random stuff, dude. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, go check them out.
Yep. So anyway, shout out to them. We'll have some gloves here soon. And you'll see Craig and I doing probably some unboxing and riding stuff with those Crush gloves. Wicho rides them. Hood Rich is also riding them. And so is our good friend Kat in LA, 85 Kat Alack. I hope she has some Simpsons gloves real soon, because I think that is the most on brand and perfect pair of gloves for her.
Yeah, no, she's got to get those. She has them.
I'm sure she has a pair already. I hope they make some, I hope they make like a Wicho, signature glove with pepperonis on it.
Oh yeah,
dude, that is pepperoni, bro. I think that they're just sitting on that one. They're just waiting to see that. Like, the world needs it. Anyway, so there's that. If you need some big bike BMX merch, I don't have a whole lot right now, but we do have some. You can always get the Broke Boys BMX jerseys. I think I have a couple gaiters left and some socks, but I'll be stocking up for stuff to get for Christmas and your Christmas sales. So if there's anything you want to see, let me know. Send a message to @BigBikeBMX on Instagram. Let me know what kind of merch I should get. I tested out some hoodies. They'll sold pretty quick.
Where can they get the jerseys at, Isaac?
Big Bike BMX. Thank you for asking. BigBikeBMX.com is where our merch store is. And every package that goes out, I throw some Craig stickers in there.
Booyah.
So you get some, you'll get an 80s BMX Craig sticker and a Night Bike Co sticker and a Phoenix Bike Co sticker while supplies last, while I still have them. So anyway, man, that's pretty much all I got for this episode. Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
No, man.
All right.
I think we knocked it out of the park, bro.
Okay, cool. Well, we've missed you guys. We missed chatting with everybody. So we wanted to just jump in and do a quick episode and update and find out, you know, let you guys know what's going on in our lives, what's happening. We've got some pretty interesting guests lined up for you. So I'm pretty excited about that. We're doing we did a pretty interesting interview with someone that's like a dual personality. Is that a good hint?
That's pretty good for me, man. But then okay. I'm a little privileged on knowing who that is. And here's the thing. Big Bike BMX on Mondays, 6 p.m. episode premieres, Pacific time. You guys gotta, if you go to our YouTube channel, and if you're not subscribed, please subscribe. We appreciate that support, but also there's a little bell on our page. Click that bell for a reminder. Make sure you guys aren't missing any of our episodes coming up. You won't want to miss them. They're totally rad. We're having a good time with them. We hope you guys are too.
Yeah. come out to the live chats, because we like, I think that's probably the highlight of my week, man, is like getting to talk to people that are just other fans of bikes, man. It's kind of fun. Everyone.
Dude, yeah. And in the live chats, bro, we've got pro SE riders showing up. We have legends of BMX freestyle and racing. You never know who's going to show up in the chat. I'll just tell you, on this last episode premiere we had with Matt Rickard, we had Matt Rickard. We had Joey, a.k.a. Reno Pedal Blocks. We had Jacob Santos. We had DZ Bike Life in the chat, along with all of us regular dudes, BMXers hanging out in there. So you never really know.
Us normal folk. Yeah.
Just normal guys, you know, if you want to call us that. But yeah, man, don't miss out on the live chat, because that's a party in itself, homies.
Yeah, we love it. So anyway, everybody, thanks for hanging out with us. We appreciate it. If you have any questions, and here's the other thing. We still have an open invite. If you want to come on the podcast, and I think we should clarify this a little bit. If you want to come on the podcast and talk about bikes with us, if it doesn't matter if you're not like, I think people thought maybe it was like, oh, well, I'm not famous. Dude, I don't care if you're famous or not. If you grew up 80s, if you just have a passion about these big bikes, man, come on the show and let's talk about it. We'll call you. Talk for 10 minutes, man. I just want to talk with other people that I've never spoke with before. You don't have to be someone famous.
Nah, just come on the show and hang out with us, man. Just hit up Isaac or myself on Instagram. Go get into our DMs, and a couple people have. And so we're stoked on that. We just want to get about a few more, man. I want to make it to where we have at least like, you know, 5 to 6, 7 people that we can just shoot the shit with, chill out and hang out and talk about bikes or, you know, whatever else we want to talk about. We would be stoked to have you guys on the show with us. So yeah, here's your chance. Come hang out with me and Isaac, man. We sure want to hang out with you.
100%. So anyway, you guys take care. Have a good week. Go ride your bikes, and we'll talk to you all soon, man. We love you all. Thanks for hanging out. You want to send us off?
Hey man, I do want to send us off. Everyone, thank you for showing up here again. YouTube, Monday, 6 p.m. Subscribe, like, and leave comments on our page. We love hearing what you guys are saying about our shows. And can't thank you enough for that. Apple Podcasts and Spotify for your streaming pleasure, whether you're on the go, going to work, driving your car, riding your bike, it does not matter. We love you guys for hanging out with us and streaming our podcast here. And yeah, thanks to everyone out there, bro. We appreciate your support.
Yep. We'll see you next week, everybody. Bum, ba-dum, bum.